Chapter 5. The Colored Window. Nancy had now been with the Bensons only 3 days, and there had already been 2 parties, the name day at Grandma's and the after callus at Aunt Martha's. The afternoon at Aunt Anna's, when everybody helped to make the May basket, seemed almost like a party, too, so that made 3 in 3 days. "It's the way things always are when I visit Grandma," thought Nancy. "I wonder if it will be like this every single day all spring and summer." Even the papering of Nancy's room turned into a kind of party, although it was hard work. Aunt Anna and Aunt Martha came to help because they thought Grandma ought not to do it alone with only Nancy to help her. And the Carlson girls came after school so they could have a part in it, too. The hardest work was getting the old paper off and scrubbing the walls. When the time came to put on the new paper, it was only fun. The room, Nancy thought, looked more beautiful with every strip that was hung, and on the day when the papering was finished, she could hardly wait for school to be over so that Sigrid and Elsa and Helga could see it. When they did, they loved the yellow roses as much as she did, and at once began to have all kinds of wonderful ideas. Sigrid remembered that Aunt Anna had a piece of yellow muslin, and suggested that maybe Nancy could have it to make bands to tie back the white curtains. "There are 4 girls, and Nancy'll need 4 bands, said Elsa. "So why can't we have a sewing party and each hem a tie back?" The muslin proved to match the roses perfectly, and the sewing party was great fun. To be sure, the stitches were rather large and uneven, but who cared about stitches when the yellow was such a lovely color and the roses were so gay? Grandma said that she would help Nancy braid a chair seat for the gray-green rocker, and she let Nancy choose strips for it from her piece bag. Nancy found gray and green ones. There were no yellow. Then Elsa suggested that she spend 10 cents of the money her papa had given her for a piece of yellow cambric to cut into strips and braid in here and there, and that made the chair seat perfect. Nancy was proud of it. Grandma told her she might invite one of the Carlson girls to spend the night with her each Friday until they had all had a turn at sleeping in the yellow rose room. The girls drew lots to see in which order they should come. First came Helga, then Sigrid, then Elsa. Those were 3 happy Friday nights. But there were lonely times, too, when Nancy felt that she couldn't get along without Mama and Papa another day. It never took Grandma long to discover that Nancy was homesick, and she would often drop whatever she was doing, sit down in the kitchen rocking chair, and take Nancy on her lap. Sometimes they would sit quietly without talking. Sometimes Grandma would tell about her childhood in Sweden, or about the days when Nancy's mother was a little girl and used to play with Anna and Martha and the other children. Sometimes they would talk about name days, for Nancy could not get them out of her mind. She could not have told why it seemed so important to her to have one. Grandma was giving her so many good times, she should have been satisfied, but she couldn't help wishing and wishing for a name day. Everybody, grown-ups and children, kept trying to think of ways to get her one, but it proved to be much harder than anyone had supposed it would be. None of the grown-ups could think of a way. The children at least had ideas. Even little Helga had one. "I know what you could do, Nancy," she said. "You could have a name day party for Charlotte. I know she has a name day because our Aunt Charlotte does. It's on the 12th of May." "That's a wonderful idea," said Elsa. "We could make a tiny flower crown for her and decorate the house and dress up all the dolls with garlands of flowers." "And make a tiny name day cake," said Sigrid. But it didn't help Nancy. "It would be a lovely party," she said, "but it wouldn't be my name day." Elsa had a friend whom she decided to consult. His name was Mr. Sanborn, and he lived around the corner from the Carlsons. "We got to be friends," she explained with great satisfaction to Nancy, "because we are both bookworms. He has more books than you could ever imagine one person having, and sometimes he invites me to come in to read them. He let me come oftener, but Mama won't. She thinks I bother him, but maybe she'll let you and me go today. Aunt Anna said they might, if they would stay only a few minutes. This seems like a story, said Nancy, as they went up Mr. Sanborn's front steps, where we are going to consult the wise man because nobody else knows the answer. Mr. Sanborn came to the door. This is Nancy Bruce, said Elsa, and she's a bookworm too. Mr. Sanborn shook hands with Nancy. Always glad to meet another bookworm, he said. And what can I do for you two ladies today? Would you like to come in and browse around a bit? We have come to you for help, said Elsa, when all else has failed. Dear me, said Mr. Sanborn, what in the world is the matter? You'd better come in to explain. They went in, and Elsa told all about name days and the Swedish almanac that didn't have any Nancy in it. Mr. Sanborn was immensely interested. I've always been fascinated by names, said he. In fact, I've made quite a study of them. Let me think a minute. He leaned back in his chair and shut his eyes. They waited. Suddenly, he opened his eyes and sat up straight. I think perhaps Nancy is in the almanac, he said, only it is there in disguise. This was certainly a surprising answer. Goodness, said Elsa. Nancy said this was like coming to consult a wise man in a story, and that sounds like the kind of answer the wise man would give. But what does it mean? Is Anne in the Swedish almanac? Asked Mr. Sanborn. I don't know, but Anna is. Then there's your answer. Did you know that some people who are christened Anne or Anna are called Nancy for a nickname? Just as some people who are christened Elizabeth may be called Betsy or Lizzie, or sometimes Elsa. Did you know that Elsa may be a nickname for Elizabeth? Elsa was almost indignant. Not in Swedish it isn't, I bet, she said. Elsa's Elsa, and Elizabeth's Elizabeth. I know because Mama has a friend named Elizabeth, and her name and mine are both in the almanac, and not on the same day at all. Nancy was just as decided in her opinion. And I wasn't christened Anne or Anna, she said. I was christened Nancy. I couldn't have Anna for a name day. It isn't my name. It's plain to see that I, too, have failed, said Mr. Sanborn. I'm very sorry. Oh, you couldn't help it, said Elsa, and you haven't had much time to think. You might get a good idea. If you do, will you please let us know? Mr. Sanborn promised that he would, and the children thanked him and left. They were disappointed and puzzled. But suddenly Elsa began to giggle. Do you know who this is walking down the street? She said. This is Miss Anna Bruce and Miss Elizabeth Carlson. They looked at each other and began to laugh. They were still giggling when they got home, and Sigrid and Helga, who had been waiting anxiously, thought surely Mr. Sanborn had found a name day. When they heard what had happened, Sigrid was disgusted. I don't think Mr. Sanborn is as smart as you make out, Elsa, she said. Oh, yes, he is, said Elsa. He's going to think some more, and maybe he'll have an idea. But even Mr. Sanborn, with all his books, couldn't think of a name day to satisfy Nancy. Poor child, said Aunt Anna one rainy Saturday afternoon, as she and Aunt Martha sat sewing with Grandma in the kitchen, while the children were playing in Nancy's room upstairs. I thought it was going to be easy to find some way to get a name day for her, but nothing anybody suggests satisfies her. It's partly that she's homesick, I suppose. She's been with her mother and father so constantly, and they've played with her so much, that it's pretty hard to be separated from them, even if she is having a good time. And she's found out how much we make of name days in this family, said Aunt Martha. I know some Swedish families who don't even think of them any more now that they've got to America. Well, they ought to, said Grandma. The children love them so. Oh, I know it, said Aunt Martha. The name day parties you have given us all are among our happiest memories. And then, too, there's something special about one's own name. I remember how I always used to love to have Papa tell me stories about a little girl named Martha. I can understand how Nancy feels about not wanting any substitute for her own name. But whatever we're going to do about it, I don't know. I didn't realize how hard it was going to be. No, I didn't either, said Grandma. Poor little one. I only hope the children can think of something finally. We've practically promised her a name day, and now we don't seem to be able to keep our promise. It was while this conversation was going on downstairs that Sigrid suddenly had her great idea upstairs. Say, kid, she cried, I just thought of something. We must be dumb not to have thought of it before. Nancy's got a middle name. Why can't she have a name day party on that day? Wouldn't that be all right, Nancy? It's just exactly as much your own name as your first one is. Nancy was overjoyed. Her middle name was Wanda. It was an unusual and romantic name, chosen because Mama had read it in a story and liked it. Nancy had always wished it had been given to her as a first name. Nancy, she thought, wasn't half so beautiful. To have a Wanda day would be simply wonderful. The little girls rushed downstairs into the kitchen for the almanac. Excitedly, they explained the great idea to the grown-ups and then plunged into the book. From January through December, they went carefully, day by day, name by name. In all the almanac, there was no Wanda. If that isn't the meanest thing I ever heard of, said Elsa, to leave both your names out. Who made this old almanac anyway? But of course they knew it wasn't anybody's fault. It was only that Wanda wasn't a Swedish name either. It sounds like one, though, said Sigrid. Nancy doesn't, but Wanda sounds as Swedish as Elsa or Anna or Helga. Nancy was so disappointed that she burst into tears. The other girls were all sympathy. Oh, don't cry, Nancy. Don't cry, please. We'll all think some more. Yes, we'll think some more, dear, said Aunt Anna, taking out her handkerchief and wiping Nancy's eyes. But Grandma, who always thought there was no cure for trouble like a good party, said, We'll have a party anyway, right now. Whose name day is it today? We'll celebrate it whoever it is. I'll get out my mixing bowl and make some plotter, and we'll have plotter and coffee right in the middle of Saturday afternoon. We'll show that old name day book. See whose name day it is, girls. Plotter was a kind of Swedish pancake that the children loved, and nobody could make them better than Grandma could. Elsa looked up the date in the almanac. The name was Oki. What a funny name, she said. I'd never heard of it. Well, think of that, said Grandma. Oki, I know that name all right. Once upon a time, I had a little pig for a pet, and his name was Oki. Aunt Anna and Aunt Martha looked at each other in surprise, but the children were paying attention only to Grandma. It was, said Sigrid. How did you ever happen to think of giving the pig that name? Because it was the name of the farmer who gave me the pig, said Grandma, and went on to tell the children what a cunning little pig it was, and how it had followed her everywhere just like a dog, and how she had knitted a little stocking cap out of odds and ends of colored yarn, and how comical Oki had looked wearing it. And it's about time we celebrated his name day, she finished. And even Nancy had to forget her own name day and giggle at the thought of eating plotter and drinking coffee in the middle of a Saturday afternoon in honor of a pig. I know what, said Sigrid. If I could have a piece of bundle paper or newspaper, I could draw and cut out a pig and a lot of stocking caps, and after we eat the plotter, we could play. Not pin the tail on the donkey, but pin the stocking cap on Oki. This must be the funniest name day party that ever came out of the almanac, said Aunt Martha. And so once more Nancy forgot, for a little while, how much she wanted a name day of her own. But something was always happening to remind her. The time drew near when she and Grandpa were to make the best name day cake in the world. She began to feel worried, but one day Grandpa told her a secret. It was such a good joke that he and she laughed every time they looked at each other in the next few days, and Grandma and the Carlson girls realized that this was to be no ordinary name day cake. The girls could hardly contain themselves for curiosity, but Grandpa and Nancy kept their secret. Eric Day came in the middle of the week when Grandpa had to work, so the party was to be given Sunday noon instead, and the name day cake was to be the dessert. The whole Carlson family was to come to dinner after church and Sunday school. Nancy and Grandpa got up early in the morning and would not let Grandma come near the kitchen after she had finished her breakfast until they had their work there done. When she did come out, she sniffed as if she were trying to smell something. "I can't smell that any cake has been baking," she said. Grandpa and Nancy looked more mysterious than ever. Dinner time came, and at last the time for the cake to be served. Grandpa and Nancy got up from the table, went to the kitchen, and shut the door between the kitchen and the dining room. In a few minutes they came back, and Grandpa was carrying not a cake plate, but Grandma's biggest cake pan. It was filled to the brim with something pink, decorated with red. The Carlson girls couldn't sit still. They had to jump up and come and look more closely. The red was strawberries, lovely big strawberries, the first of the season. With them, Nancy had spelled out Eric Day, May 18th. And the pink? Why, it wasn't cake at all. "It's ice cream," cried Sigrid. Ice cream. That was something the children had only on very, very special occasions. On 4th of July always, and perhaps three or four other times a year. And now Nancy and Grandpa had made some in the freezer that was kept for those special occasions, and put fresh strawberries in the ice cream, and on it too. "What do you mean it isn't cake?" asked Grandpa. "It's in a cake pan, isn't it? What do you think, Nancy? Doesn't it look to you like a cake?" "Of course, if nobody here likes it, we can give it away and go out in the kitchen and make a sponge cake or something." By this time, the little girls were tugging at his arms to get his attention. "No, no, Grandpa, no, it's the best, the most wonderful name day cake in the world. It's much better than sponge cake." "Well, I'm relieved to hear it," said Grandpa. "Then I don't have to eat my best straw hat." "No, no," they all shouted. "Come on," said Nancy, "let's eat the cake then." "That's the best idea yet," said Grandpa. After dinner, the ladies did the dishes, and Grandpa and Uncle John, Sigrid and Elsa and Helga's father, took the little girls for a long walk in the woods. And when they came back, there was another surprise. A second dish of ice cream for everybody. Of course, there were many days when Nancy and Grandma were alone almost all day. Then Nancy played with Oscar or Teddy, or with her paper dolls or Charlotte, or helped Grandma with the housework and cooking, or answered her letters from Mama and Papa. And she spent many hours reading. Grandpa let her take his library card, and she read all the books she could borrow, and the ones the Carlson girls borrowed on their cards, too. One day, Aunt Martha, when she came to bring eggs for the store, brought also the cuckoo clock and said Nancy might keep it for a week. Nancy was delighted and didn't even stay to hear what Grandma and Aunt Martha might have to say while they were drinking their coffee. Instead, she took the book and went out into the front hall to sit halfway up the stairs to read. Nancy loved this hall, principally because high up over the stairs was a colored glass window, rather like a church window. It had a pane of frosted glass in the middle and smaller panes of color in a border around the frosted part. Blue and gold and violet, green and crimson were the colors. Nancy thought it was beautiful. And now she discovered something enchanting. She made herself comfortable on the landing where the stairway turned and opened her book to read. She chose her favorite part, where Griselda, dressed in her nightgown, enters the cuckoo clock for the first time, and the cuckoo, thinking she may be cold, gives her a little cloak to wear, a little cloak made of feathers and lined with red velvet, feathers of every shade and color, but beautifully worked in somehow, so as to lie quite smoothly and evenly, one color melting away into another, like those in a prism, so that you could hardly tell where one began and another ended. And just as Nancy was reading this, the sun, which had hidden behind the clouds most of the day, suddenly burst forth and, shining through the window, colored the pages of the book. It was a little old book with small type and hardly any pictures, but now it had become enchanted. By moving a little, Nancy could change the colors so that the pages became blue and golden, crimson and green and violet as she read. It was like reading a book in fairyland. She had never imagined any book so lovely. And to think that this had happened to her favorite, Cuckoo Clock. It was as if the cuckoo had enchanted her as well as Griselda. When Aunt Martha called to say goodbye, Nancy was as startled as if she had suddenly been called out to fairyland. Over and over again that week, when the sun was shining, Nancy took the cuckoo clock to read on the stairs. She never read any other book there. She never told anyone else about the wonder of the adventure. There seemed to be no words to tell it. It belonged to her and to Griselda and the cuckoo. And so the days went by, and most of them were happy. But years later, as Nancy looked back on that spring and summer, she realized that 5 enchanted days stood out more clearly in her memory than did any of the others. It was as if the sunlight had played on them as it did on the cuckoo clock through the colored panes of the window.